Chapter 2, Confrontations with Darkness. In the very first year of my salvation, I was confronted with darkness on four occasions. The first time occurred shortly after being saved. I would regularly call my sister who worked at a liquor store. I'd ask her whether or not her boss was in. Every time that she would say no, I'd run down to the store and pass out tracts and tell the people how God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. This was the only scripture I knew at that time. And I tell them how cigarettes and alcohol would destroy their souls. I never had any problems with the people except for one occasion. One day, a young man entered the store and began contradicting me. I approached him with my Bible open to show him John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. As I came within 3 feet of him, I looked into his eyes and saw snake heads coming out of the pupils of his eyes. It appeared that worms were crawling around on his face. I shouted, "He's the devil!" He replied with a strange voice, "I am sweet Satan." Afterwards, he jumped on his bicycle and rode off. I turned around to the people and asked them, "Did you see his eyes?" They said no, but they had heard what he said. Not too surprising, they all had strange, confused looks upon their faces. I believe that the Lord let me see this in order to protect me from getting too close to the young man, for I was then only a month old in the Lord. Being new in the church, I thought that these things always happened. So I shared the incident with other members of my church. Boy, did I make a big mistake. After I told them, they seemed to be afraid to even shake my hand or get close to me. I would come home and cry, saying, "Lord, I thought these people were supposed to be full of love." After being rejected by church members over a period of time, I decided to leave that church and go back into the world. I told the Lord my decision, and he instructed me to stay in Christ. And I said, "Okay." Another occasion or confrontation happened after I had only been saved for about 6 months or a little longer. The pastor asked if I would take a certain woman into my home because she didn't have anywhere else to stay. Still excited about my own salvation, I quickly said yes. I thought this was the normal Christian thing to do. While this person lived with me, the Lord had me going on one fast after another and praying for hours at a time. I didn't understand at first, I just simply obeyed. During the time she stayed there, a demon began attacking my son. He woke up one night crying, and a voice was speaking out of him while he was crying. I thought to myself, it's impossible to cry and to talk at the same time. The thought flashed into my mind that I should hold my son, look him in the eyes, and say, "Satan, the Lord rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Come out of him, you devil." When I did, the demon said, "Okay." Then my son quieted down and became very peaceful. My son was 3 years old at the time. Later, the woman confessed that she was a Satan worshiper. And when she left my home, she went on to San Francisco to join the Church of Satan. When she left, she took a lot of my possessions with her. To state it plainly, she stole from me. However, because of all the fasting and praying I was doing, during the 3 weeks that she was staying at my house, Satan was not able to carry out his plans through her for my destruction. I told my pastor about her, and she replied, "I knew that something wasn't right about her. That's why I didn't take her into my house." I thought, thanks a lot. I don't blame the pastor now, for she was a new pastor at that time. The third confrontation with darkness began when a man called me, saying he had an uncashed insurance policy on my mother who had died 3 years prior. I went down to his office to see the policy. This man was hideous looking. Half his face was disfigured. He only had one eye, which was red, cold, and piercing. I went in, he shut the door, and I proceeded to examine the policy. When I looked at it, I noticed that they had my mother's name spelled wrong. Then a voice spoke to me saying, "Get out of there quickly." I couldn't open the door. It was locked. I turned around and said, "I'm not interested in that policy. Open this door and let me out." He hesitated. I began to say, "In the name of Jesus, open this door." I repeated this 3 times, and the 3rd time he opened the door. I walked out thanking the Lord. This was another time that Satan's plan failed. I don't know what this man had planned for me, but it certainly was not good. The 4th confrontation was just as strange as the others. I always love to pass out tracts and to witness to people. One day, while passing out tracts, I began witnessing to an older man. He told me that he really didn't have the time. But if I wanted to come by his house and share some scriptures with him, he'd go over them with me and possibly come to church. He said that he was familiar with the Lord, but that he wasn't in the church at that time. Young and foolish, I went to his house. Thinking gladly that this would be a soul won back to the Lord, I was fired up to meet with this man. I had my scriptures and my tracts. I had prayed through before I left home. Man, was I ready. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Ephesians 6:11. When I arrived, he had on a white robe, and he invited me into the living room. On the floor, I noticed a circle drawn containing a star with 5 points and a candle burning at each of the points. I really didn't know what this meant, so I assumed that it was harmless. I sat up on the couch and noticed a table over to my right full of money. In fact, there were several stacks of money on the table. Even with all that money laying on the table, my only interest was for a soul coming to the Lord. I opened my Bible and said, "Come on, I have my scriptures. Let's pray and read the word." He asked me to step into the circle with him so that I could be his first wife. He said his Lord told him that I was supposed to be his first wife and that it was a position of honor. He was to have many wives and I could be number one. I asked him, "Are you out of your mind?" I then told him that I was not looking for a husband at that time, and even if I were, it certainly would not have been him. He offered the money on the table to me, and I told him that I was not interested in his money. My heart was still set on praying and reading the scriptures, as we had initially agreed. So I again said, "Let's pray and read the scriptures." But he was persistent about me stepping into the circle. It came to me that this was another setup. Later, a former witch told me that this was a satanic circle. So I picked up my Bible and headed for the door. There was no doorknob, and the door was locked. At that moment, I started calling on the wonderful name of Jesus and commanded the man to open the door. It took 10 minutes of rebuking the devil in him and calling on the name of Jesus before he finally opened the door. With a great sense of relief, I got out of there. I know that Satan meant bodily and spiritual harm for me, but his plan failed. In my spiritual infancy, I had much zeal and little wisdom, but the Lord was always present to deliver me out of my troubles. Afterwards, the scripture came to me, James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. I immediately began praying, "Lord, give me wisdom." During this time, I had no one to counsel me, except for one person who really didn't understand these mysteries. Church members still avoided me because of the first confrontation. I was alone. But this taught me to lean on Jesus and Jesus alone. It's now 23 years later, and I still depend solely on Him. I lean on the Lord to lead me and guide me, as well as to give me instructions in different situations. Believe me, you can't go wrong leaning on Jesus. Now I understand why I was instructed at my new birth to go on a 3-day and night fast, and then fast after fast after fast. The Lord knew that Satan had dangerous traps set for me. I had to be obedient and not question the Lord, because He knows everything. Much fasting and praying set up an anointing to make the devil back off, for every one of his plans fell through. All of these confrontations occurred within the first year of my salvation. I learned how important it was to stay focused on Jesus and watch out for distractions. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct my path. Proverbs 3:5-6. It sure would have been nice to have had this scripture flowing in my heart before that 4th confrontation. Little did I know that all of these circumstances were happening in order to prepare me for intercessory warfare against witches, warlocks, and powers of darkness. Many people are still unaware of the existence of these evil personalities. They think witches and warlocks are fictional and belong only to the realm of children's fairy tales. But there are modern-day people practicing witchcraft. These people look normal, but are part of an orchestrated movement to infiltrate and weaken the power of the church. I discovered that they are even sent to schools to learn how to dance and pray like we do. They imitate us so closely that they can deceive all but the most discerning eye. As Christians, we need to pray for discernment in order to see these evil people and destroy their works before they are allowed to wreak havoc in our lives. In 1 Corinthians 12:7 through 10, we find that among the gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to believers is the discerning of spirits. And in 1 John 4:1, we are warned to believe not every spirit, but to try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. In the next